Our podcast will begin in just a moment. We thank you for subscribing. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you have questions about a professionally managed retirement portfolio, take a look at these carefully designed programs on investtalk.com. KPP Financial's newest investment program is called Disciplined Equity. It focuses on growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies listed on the U.S. exchanges. Although the portfolio is concentrated, its exposure is limited to any one sector of the market. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com to find out more if you'd like. End of commercial. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is April 29th, 2016, and you're listening to Invest Talk. Our mission is always to help you be a better than average investor. How to become one? What does it take to be a successful investor? The most successful investors were not made in one day. And of course, learning and understanding financial statistics, the financial markets, economics, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. It takes a nonstop learning process, which is kind of fun, in my opinion. It also takes some patience. And you know, you're going to make mistakes. I've made many mistakes. There's trial and error period. You're going to make mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, that means you don't make any decisions. I love it when people that don't make decisions whine and complain about those people that make decisions and make wrong decisions. At least they're trying. They're making decisions. That's what you do. You learn from your mistakes and go forward. That's human nature. People that do nothing, make no decisions, like to sit back and criticize the rest of us that make decisions. It's very easy. Very easy. Don't get fall into that trap. You decide what you want to do and you make decisions. We like to think of Invest Talk, this show, as a kind of a roundtable discussion. We're happy to answer questions. I don't mind. I love answering any kind of questions about any stock if that's what you're interested in. But I like to share any experiences, your experiences, if we can. I always try to share some of my experiences over the years. And I want to hear from you. Everyone should begin their investing journey with a destination in clear view. When you start investing, what is your goal? Everybody says, well, I want to make money. Is that really the goal? That's not the goal. That's the journey, making money over the period of time. But the goal is to have a comfortable retirement. Over what period of time do you want to, when do you want to reach that goal? Then how do you take steps to plan to get there? That's the job. You should start as early as you can and then stay diligent about it. Okay, the next step, once you have a goal and what your time frame is, then you got to start learning. Read books, take investment courses, talk to people who have experience and learn from their wisdom. There's so much to learn. It's so vast. You know, you're never going to learn it all, but you can become better and better and better, more informed, and then you can make better choices. There's lots of concepts out there, time tested for decades, portfolio optimization, diversification, market efficiency. There's Nobel Prize winning theories. So there's all this stuff for you to learn, and it's a lot of fun. And you know, I recommend books often on the show. You know I do, because I do enjoy reading myself. I read at least one book a week, at least. As I said many times, it's also a combination of science and art. It's not, you're never going to say, well, I've come up with this formula. If you ever hear anybody say they have come up with a formula to make money, they're lying. First of all, they would never tell you. They just go make money. But there is no formula. There is no surefire way. It's learning and understanding psychology. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And then you got to know yourself. Are you driven by fear and greed? Do you know what you're doing? Do you understand that you're being driven by fear and greed? A lot of people are driven by fear and greed and don't think they are because they don't know themselves well enough. Anyway, so that's that's a good starting point. We have a list of very helpful books for you, all levels of experiences. Click on Invest Talk tab, the Invest Talk tab at investtalk.com. Okay, let's go to the phones. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. Let's see what questions we have waiting for us.
Hello, my name is Andy, and I have a question about fixed index annuities. I have the opportunity to purchase one, a 10-year contract, which would guarantee me 3 to 6%. I would like to know what they use as their marker to tell us if it should be 3% or 6%. Do they include the S&P 500 but don't include dividends? So in that case, let's say the S&P went up 4% and the dividends were 2%, then I'd only get 2%. And also, I'd like your overall opinion on the fixed index annuities for a 25% portion of my retirement portfolio. I'm currently 66 years old. Thank you very much.
Well, you got to be careful when you're 66 to tie up your money for 10 years. I mean, I don't like annuities because of that and other features. Another feature is I don't like the high commissions and the high costs that they are. But, you know, I don't like tying up people's money when they might need it. Having said that, a fixed index annuity is kind of a hybrid between a fixed annuity and an index annuity. They're trying to give you the best of both worlds. They're trying to say, well, you're going to make a certain amount every year. Okay, and we're going to guarantee that. And if the market goes up 10%, we'll give you 2%. The market goes down 10%, usually they take the 2% away from you that you made the year before. So be very aware that it's not always a one-way street where every year it kind of builds. Not necessarily. Usually they guarantee a certain amount every year. But you might get more if the index goes up. And I don't know. I cannot answer the question across the board because these are contracts. And these contracts are individual contracts by the insurance companies. And therefore, you have to read the fine print, which nobody does. I have not had a lot of people come to me and say, I really love my annuity. I just don't get it. Maybe they don't talk about it, but I have a lot of people come to me and say they don't like it, but I have not had anybody come to me and say they really like it. A fixed annuity, everybody, is an annuity that's like a CD. It pays you a certain amount every year. Okay, and it's fixed. A fixed index annuity has a fixed component and then an index component to it. So you have to figure out how the components work in conjunction with each other. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it. Easy ways to diversify your portfolio. That's going to be our main talking point today. So what do you want to talk about? I also want to talk about the Dow and S&P eked out a gain for the month. But is that the whole story? Let's talk about that. When did gold move up? Why did gold move up so strongly today? Gold was really up big. Why? Well, I'll tell you, there's something you can point to and say that's pretty sure that's the reason. And most people probably didn't even notice why. And where does your money go? Where does it go? Do you know where it goes? When you make money paycheck to paycheck, remember that's going to be part of our talking point. Paycheck to paycheck a couple days ago, but where does the money go that you earn? We're going to discuss that. And how do you keep track of it? I'm going to discuss that too. The market was down. We improved nicely from the down that it started, you know, during the day. It was down 150 points or so, 200 points on the Dow. And then it ended up only being down 57. So it came back. The NASDAQ down 30 and the S&P down 11. Now, if you're watching closely, like I do, you'll see that the market seems to be kind of rolling a little bit. How bad is it going to roll over? I don't know, but it seems like it hit that resistance level and just having a heck of a time. And what's a little bit disconcerting is that the NASDAQ, which usually leads up and leads down, didn't get that close to its highs like the S&P and the Dow did, and it seems to be heading down faster. And that, remember, it leads. It generally leads. So it tells me that the market's pretty weak. Pretty weak at this point. Now, it could turn around in a dime. Well, you're getting over halfway through earnings season, so we're almost done. Well, you know, I think we're about 66, 70% reported. 900 companies reported this week, so I know a lot did. So I haven't really tracked exactly how much more we have left to go, but another week or two, and that'll be pretty much it for the earnings season. We're glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Here's an opportunity for you. Our own Justin Klein is a licensed realtor and has a team of experienced professionals that will be offering free real estate reviews by Skype or telephone May 12th. To reserve your time, just click on Contact Justin and write real estate review on investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART and give me a call. Love to talk to you. Let's go to Richard in Castro Valley. How are you doing, Richard?
Oh, excellent, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the call.
Excellent. I had said a few days ago when Apple broke below 100 for a 93 limit buy, and it hit today. So I was a little surprised because I wasn't expecting it to get that low.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think...
Should I bail?
No. I don't think you bail. It still could go down, of course. You know, I don't have a crystal ball either. But, you know, the values is very strong now. I mean, it's going to make $9.17 next year. It's a $93 stock. And the five-year average PE is 10 to 17, and it's at 10. Could it go to 9 or 8? Sure, it could go lower. But the odds are it's going to find some support pretty soon. You know, I don't think I'd bail on it. It could go down further, but the company is extremely healthy, and you're in mid-cycle. And their biggest problem was China. They're having trouble with China. That was probably the reason why they disappointed. And I don't know if that's got a long-term issue or just they'll resolve that and, you know, get back and grow. It's a big blue-chip stock. I think they're going to do something with that cash hoard within the next year or two, Richard. The cash hoard, they're going to do something. And I'm going to hold on to my shares. We own in our managed accounts until I see a clearer picture, until it gets out of the mid-cycle of the phone. I think I'll hold on to it at this point. So I would suggest.
As a percentage of portfolio, would you think 2.5%? Up to 5% would be safe?
I wouldn't go more than 3. I wouldn't.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's just my personal preference. And we don't buy usually more than about 3% of any one stock. If we really have really positive feelings, we'll go up to 5, but that's pretty rare. It's usually 3. Appreciate the call, Richard. Thank you for the call.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about spreading the wealth, ways to diversify your portfolio, easy ways. And we all know about target-dated funds. They're a very easy way in your 401k to diversify your portfolio. I don't really like them, and I've told you many times why I don't like them, because it's an automatic pilot, and meaning that they get more conservative as the date approaches, and then that means that they buy more and more bond funds and disregard what interest rates are doing and whether it's a good idea to be buying bond funds or not. And I don't like that part. Meanwhile, money is flooding into these target-dated funds because they're so easy for people. Oh, I'm going to retire at 20, 45. I'll buy that. Okay, I'm done. I don't have to look at it again. It's a lazy man's way to invest, and many people are opting for that way, which I think is wrong. It's just a mistake, personally speaking. So, but it is a way to get diversification. And at this time, I put that target way out there because you don't necessarily want to buy bonds when interest rates are so low. But there's other ways you can build your own, and I think I prefer that. Build your own diversification. You can use ETFs, you can use stocks, but there's many ways to do it. And you need to learn what diversification means, really means, and understand it and then implement it. Too many people say, well, I like this stock, and then I like this stock, and I like this stock. And pretty soon, the stocks they like are all in the same industry, the same sector. That's not a good idea. Okay? This is Invest Talk, a place to talk about your money. I'd love to hear about your portfolio. What's your mix of assets? How much gold do you have? Do you see what gold did today? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, Yes, hello, Steve or Justin. This is Bill calling from North Dakota. I'm a podcast listener and I love you guys' show. And was curious about the stock MCK McCormick Corp. It's a healthcare supplies provider and pharmaceutical company. I kind of took notice of your guys' recommendation of the switch in the market from growth to more value names and noticed a pretty steep decline in this stock, and it looks like it has put a bottom in. I was curious of your guys' take on upside potential and if this is a good time to pick it up, and if you would buy it and what your prospects down the line would be. It would be a long-term hold for me. I'm only 30 years old, so I have plenty of time ahead. But was curious of your guys' take. I visited two nursing homes the other day and noticed that all of their supplies were from this company. So kind of interesting. So I will listen for your answer on the podcast. Thank you.
Okay, MCK, thanks for the call. MCK is McKesson Corporation, not McCormick. McKesson, and McKesson is the one you describe because it distributes drugs, health and beauty care products, medical supplies, equipment to pharmacies and hospitals. So I'm pretty sure this is the company that you were talking about, McKesson, MCK. And it's a very good company. It is a $38 billion size company. It's been consistently growing its earnings for years now. And it will continue to do so. It's going to make $12.75 this year, up 15%, and $13.48 next year per share, up a 6% more. And so it's a $167 stock. So that's going to drive the PE down to probably, 12 approximately. And the five-year range is 11 to 23. So in really good return on equity, is 32%, very good cash flow. Doesn't pay much of dividend, but I think it's a good bargain at this point. I think it's something that you might want to buy. Deep value is what it is. Sales have fallen a little bit in the most recent quarter, and it fell hard yesterday, and that might be because the earnings were disappointing there. However, it is a really good value at this point. And it looked like it put it in the bottom, but $149, $150, $151, and it's $167 now. So I think this would be a good place to pick it up. And, you know, it's now on another little downtrend. Well, I might want to wait for an update and make sure you get maybe a turnaround a little bit. But it's only, you know, it looks pretty good to me. I like McKesson, MCK, MCK. I have some new dates for our personal retirement reviews. This is our one-hour informal meetings. I can give you my opinion on your accounts if you like. I'll be in San Ramon May 11th, San Jose May 25th. These dates are listed on investtalk.com, investtalk.com. To schedule your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Let's go to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the value investing. I know it's a big, vast topic, but in your opinion, what is in value investing? What are the parameters that you need to look at? And in the current market scenario, what are the sectors that best fit for value investing?
Well, I can't really say, I can't point to any sectors, maybe utilities, but value investing means that the stocks are selling at discounts to their earnings. So therefore, PE ratios, price to sales ratios are very low. And, you know, price to book ratio is meaning it's closer to its price to book as opposed to being two or three times book value. So it has very good return on equities, return on assets, better than the average, okay? And it's the average PE ratio for the market is 15 over long periods of time, the S&P 500. So you would want you obviously want to compare your PEs with their sector average, but make sure that it's selling below the market average. Okay, so though you're looking for the value part, you're not so focused on the growth of sales or the growth of earnings. You're more focused on the value of the underlying company, and you might take a look at price to sales ratios more closely than price to earnings ratios. There's no scientific definition of here it is right here. That just isn't. It's because every sector is a little bit different, you know. Again, I think utilities are a good place to be right now. There's certain ones that look pretty decent, but you're really looking for individual stocks if you really want to know the truth in a variety of sectors so you get some good diversification. I like oil companies. Some oil companies are good values, but I might wait till oil falls again. And hopefully it'll retrace. I'm pretty sure it will. You still have some good values in mining companies, you know, out there. So there's good values out there. Rabi, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You're listening to Invest Talk. I invite you to join our Invest Talk Insiders and be an insider. It's a way to have access to all sorts of good information, commentary, lists of ETF stocks, and recorded webinars, including our most recent one, Surviving and Prospering in a Volatile Market. You must admit that it's pretty volatile. Sign up for free on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab. If you have a question or want to share your investing experience, why not do it now? 888-99-CHART. And I welcome everybody to call.
InvestTalk is all about above-average investing for the average investor. How do you prepare your retirement plan for a volatile market? Talk about it now, 888-99-CHART. Our podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And we thank you for subscribing. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to the listings of the last 5 Invest Talks, each listing the topics and stocks discussed. Just go to investtalk.com. We continue now with the Friday, April 29th Invest Talk. Check in now with your questions. 888-99-CHART. The line is always open.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, the Dow and the S&P. The Dow, I do. Oh, I didn't see that. Joe, Santa Margarita. How you doing, Joe?
Good, how you doing, Steve?
Good, I'm not too far from you, by the way. I'm in San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah, I know you guys are in the area. Yeah. I like listening to your podcast time, and I'd like to reach out to you guys one day, but maybe when I build my fund a little bigger.
Great, hope so.
Take over.
Sure.
Anyways, I had a question about Seagate Technology. They missed on earnings today. Mm-hmm. The symbol's STX. Their dividend looks awful enticing at this price.
Yeah, it does.
I'm wondering what your thoughts were. I mean, I know that your revenue is decreasing. I know usually you like to wait and see where it bottoms, like a few days. I've been waiting, listening to you on Apple, waiting until it holds that 92 as well. But this looks enticing because of the yield.
It does. Seagate Technology, everybody. STX is the symbol. Manufactures hard disk drives for the enterprise, desktop, mobile, computing, and consumer electronics market. And it did miss on earnings, but it makes good money. Don't think it doesn't. It's going to make $2.25 this year, but that's almost half of what it made the year before. So there's where your problem is. The stock has been falling for most of the year, and it really took a dive today. At some point, Joe, it's going to be a pretty good value stock, and I think it's getting closer and closer. I would be patient. I don't think you jump in yet. I really don't. Even though I see that an insider bought before today's fall, so there's the insider is at least thinking about trying to pick this thing up. It has 11% dividend yield, everybody, and you think about it, it's a $21 stock, and they're going to make $2.25 this year, and then $3.12 last year. So it's paying a lot of its earnings and dividend, but the cash flow is $7 a share. I think it's going to maintain the dividend. It hasn't cut the dividend yet. It increased it back in 2014. It's the last time they did anything. So I think, Joe, this is setting itself up to be a good value play. You just got to be a little bit more patient, though. Okay?
Do you see a particular price that you like? I know they have like a billion in cash and about $4 billion in debt, so that doesn't look too bad, but... I'm just worried with this yield that it's going to run up once people get aware of, you know, where it's at.
Well, it has some support right where it is today. If I go all the way back to 2012, it was selling around $10 to $16. So I think it could go to $16 on you before it stops falling. But if you're really nervous, because I don't know that for sure, Joe, you could, when you see the first signs of some strength, and I would at least pick up some, but you got to wait for some strength to come into it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the call. STX, that was Seagate. Okay, Dow and S&P are up for the month. Did you know they were up for the month of April? Remember, it was the last trading day today. Up for the month. The S&P was up 0.5%. I'm sorry. The Dow was up 0.5%, and the S&P was up 0.3%. What do you think the NASDAQ was for the month? It was down 2% for the month, the NASDAQ. Remember, wasn't the market just rallying week after week after week? Well, it didn't do that great for April. Even though if you were talking to people in the beginning of the month, they would tell you how great the market is, you know, has been coming off the bottoms of January. Well, month of April was not very good. Not very good. What sectors were the worst? Healthcare and IT. They were the worst. So even though the Dow and S&P were up for the month, that doesn't really tell the whole story, because what leads the market is generally the NASDAQ, up and down. Generally, not always, but generally. And that has not looked very well. And it didn't even look that great in the recovery. It did recover, but it didn't get close to the tops, highs it made in the end of the year, whereas the S&P and the Dow did. So just be very conscious of what's going on in the market. I think I lost one of my internet connections, Jorge, so just letting you know. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Okay, we have another voicemail. We're going to go to that. Remember, you can call us anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And don't hesitate to call over the weekend and leave your message, and we'll answer the question on the next show.
Hi, this is Phil in Oklahoma City. With the recent downturn in Apple, is this a buying opportunity? If so, at what price would you enter? Thanks.
Again, we just talked about Apple. I think Justin and I were looking at it today. This is a good place where it is today. This is where it finds a lot of support, right in the low 90s here. And if it holds this area, this is where you would buy it. But I would wait a few days to see if it holds. Okay, if you go to a longer-term chart, from a charting point of view, it can go, it has more support in the low 80s. That's where the next good support area comes in. So there's where your points of entry are. So there's no rush. Don't be in a rush to own Apple. It's just not, you know, you don't need to be. You really don't. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. We'd love to talk to you. Why did gold move up so strongly today? You know, there are some specific reasons why it did, but I don't think anybody was reporting as to why. I don't have an insert to read. I'm offline, by the way, just so. I'm offline, everybody. Just so bear with me on this. I do have technical difficulties sometimes. So, okay, I'm going to reopen this and see if we can't get back online, Jorge. So I'll let you know. We're going to talk to Kumar in San Jose. How you doing, Kumar?
Hi. I have a question. I see some stocks which are like the price is less than the book value. So, correct? Am I missing something? If that is correct, then it's good to buy.
Well, if a stock is selling less than book value, that means if the company was liquidated, you would get more per share than it's trading at this time. It's pretty unusual to find a stock that's selling at less than book value. It's just uncommon in this day and age. It does happen. It does happen. But that's not a sole reason to buy the stock. Sometimes there's a very good reason why it's less than book value. There's something wrong with the company. And therefore, you know, it's not necessarily a really good value play. You have to look at the company and find out, why is it selling for less than book value? Are their earnings tanking? Do the competition destroying their business? What's going on to make it less than book value? So I can't just say as an overall rule, if you find something less than book value, go buy it, because that's not true. Because a lot of companies will go out of business even though their book value is higher than the price. So no, you can't buy it just because it's below book value, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Joe, how you doing? Okay, I'm sorry, not Joe, but Bill. Bill in Santa Cruz. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Steve. Very good. Good to hear you again. You know, I'm an account holder there.
Oh, great.
And I noticed the stock that I think I had seen it before, but I wasn't familiar until you purchased it. It's GEO.
Uh-huh.
That's a REIT. And I'm just curious, the precise reason why you think that's a good value right now, and whether you consider that more a longer-term position or just more of a swing trade or what?
GEO, everybody, the GEO Group, it's a REIT that owns and leases and manages correctional detention and reentry facilities and community-based youth services. One of the main reasons why we really like it is an 8% dividend. 8.1% dividend. And the payout ratio, meaning the earnings they have versus the dividend, is below 60%. So they even have more room to raise the dividend if they want. And insiders have been buying it for the last 3 months. They're going to make $3.44 this year. That's up 24% from last year. And another up $3.57 next year, only up 4%. But another reason why we like it is it's not cyclical. In other words, if the economy goes down, their business is going to probably do better because more criminals.
Does this look like more of a growth stock in that sense, with both the growth and the dividend stock?
Yes, because the sales are growing in the mid to high teens every quarter, the last couple, three quarters. So not only are you buying a low PE stock that has a high dividend, but it's also sales are growing fast. So for all those reasons, we like it.
Very good. Okay. Well, the problem when I was doing my research on it and looking it up, mm-hmm. some of the websites like Yahoo, they show the dividend payout as being over 100%. So the way they calculate it isn't the accurate way,
no.
and that caused me a little bit of concern,
well,
you know.
Well, okay, well, you don't have to believe them. What you could do is look at the price of the stock, which is $32 a share, and an 8% dividend. So 8% of 32 is 24, maybe $2.40 to $2, let's say $2.60, and they're going to make $3.44 this year and $3.57 next year. So their payout ratio, just on that simple calculation, is about what, 75-80%? But if you then look at it, if you start taking into consideration some of the benefits they have, which is depreciation and other things, the payout ratio is even a bit lower than that. So I kind of like, yeah, they're going to maintain that dividend. I don't see them dropping it. So I
very like good. It. Looks like a good one.
Yeah, I think it's
good. I'm glad you grabbed it.
Hey,
thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for being a client. I appreciate that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Do we need to take a break? We have a segment on real estate we want to talk about real quick, so we're going to play that right now.
Now, InvestTalk Real Estate. Chevy Akison, real estate agent and investor, speaks with Justin Klein about staging your home for best appeal.
So after a seller fixes up any problem areas of the home, what do you advise clients about staging their home so that when prospective buyers walk into it, they get a good feel and they actually hopefully fall in love with that home?
So that's a great question. You know, we've talked about the three pillars of selling a property in the past. Number one, getting home ready to sell. Number two, getting it the right exposure. And number three, pricing it properly, right? Well, a big part of number one and getting the home ready to sell beyond remodeling is staging. Like we've talked about, a lot of times buyers, you know, don't necessarily have the vision. We've worked with buyers that have seen the same exact floor plan. One was staged, one wasn't. Everything else was pretty similar, and they didn't even recognize that it was the same floor plan. And as a result, that buyer was willing to pay a huge premium for the staged home versus the non-staged home. So I am a firm believer in staging properties. Again, but it is very neighborhood specific. Some neighborhoods don't need it, but a majority of the time, the seller is going to sell their home faster and for more money in a quicker and more convenient time by being able to negotiate terms. You know, a lot of times today, because sellers have a lot of equity again, they need to sell their property to buy something else. So, you know, moving furniture out, moving some new furniture in, having competing buyers competing for their property, not only will potentially get them the most amount of money for their house, but it'll give them more flexible terms. We have a lot of buyers right now that are able to lease their property back for up to 60 days, sometimes longer, in order to find the next property by having the right staging and having the emotional buyer that's willing to agree to the terms and the price that we need for our sellers.
If you have a question, 888-99-CHART is the number to call or contact KPP's own licensed realtor and financial advisor, Justin Klein. Click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hi, I would like to know what you folks think of the stock symbol RIG, which is Transocean Oil Exploration. I very much appreciate hearing what your opinion is of that stock. Okay, thank you.
Now that's RIG, everybody. Transocean. It is, of course, the company that offers. You know, it is a driller. Okay, and of course, everything. And it's big, so it's a big, comfortable driller. Therefore, you know, you have to think of, well, what about oil prices? What are they doing? And we own not RIG, but we own something that's in one of the competitors. And I think that, you know, you want to buy when everybody else doesn't want to buy. It looks like on a chart, RIG is a good buy at this point. You might want to wait to see if we get a pullback in the market in the summer. But it's double bottomed right around 8.50, and it's now today at $11.08. So you have... It looks like this is where you would want to pick it up, but you have to be a believer in oil. And if you're not a believer in oil that's going to go higher, then you might want to be patient and wait for that. RIG, everybody. R-I-G. R-I-G. You're listening to Invest Talk. I appreciate you calling in, everybody. Please call us and ask your question. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. I listen to your show every day via podcast. Thank you for all the information. Great show. A quick question regarding long-term planning. I am 60 years old. I've never been a fan of bonds and their lack of availability or high fees, and I'm very slowly moving my portfolio from more risky small and mid-caps to a more stable, well-run large-cap portfolio. So this is the question. Would you recommend a portfolio that substitutes blue chips, large caps, instead of bonds for an older individual who does not mind bearing a higher degree of risk? Again, fantastic show. Thanks again. Bye.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a big bond fan either, even though we, in our balanced income fund, we do have bonds and we ladder them. I'm not a big fan of bonds when interest rates are so low. And for an individual to buy bonds, you will never get a good price. I mean, rarely. You don't have to be very wealthy and buy large amounts of bonds to get good bonds and a bond dealer to bring them to you that are things, ones that are attractive. So it's difficult for an individual. I would sprinkle in, besides the big dividend-paying stocks that you're talking about, the big blue chippers, you might want to sprinkle in a couple of REITs in there. And you know, we talked earlier in the week about healthcare REITs. I kind of like that area, you know, so you can, you because remember, that's their one thing they do is pay dividends. And if you're kind of trying to find a little bit of a substitute for bonds, REITs, different kinds of REITs could do that. And I do like the healthcare REITs. I think we talked about earlier in the week about one of them. I think it was HCP. I'm not recommending it, but that was a good healthcare REIT. I think paid like 6.5% dividend yield and had pretty decent numbers and was still growing sales. And it was really big. There was another one. I'm trying to remember it, but I can't. Yeah, the company's big. So, and HCP, by the way, is about $16, $17 billion in size. So it's not small. So you sprinkle in those, I think it might be a good idea. Why did the gold move up so much today? Did you see that? It was all about the yen. It's all about the yen. Remember, the Bank of Japan had a meeting, like our bank, our Fed. They came out with their statement, and what they said is they're going to do nothing. And that was a big surprise. What did that do? Because the anticipation was for them to do something. So there was a carry trade. A large, big institutional investors were having a carry trade. And carry trade is where they were borrowing yen and buying U.S. assets, stocks. And when the yen rose against the dollar, and the dollar fell sharply today, gold went up. It was all about the yen. And the relationship between the dollar, the yen, and other floating currencies, and that tends to drive gold prices. The weaker the dollar, the higher the gold prices will go. So how weak will the dollar get? Remember, we had a very strong dollar all last year. You got to be really on top of your game, everybody. Really be. Okay, I got an email, by the way, from a client, or not a client, but a listener. He says, I listen to your radio show most of the time. I wanted to know your opinion on below, and he gave me a number of stocks. I can only do one. I'll do the first one on his list, BMRN, B as in boy, M as in Mary, R as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And that is BioMarin Pharmaceuticals. I've never heard of them, but hey, they're a $14 billion company. They're not small. Develops therapies to treat genetic diseases with unmet medical needs. The reason why I've never heard of them is because they haven't made money since 2010. They've lost money every year. They're going to lose $2.35 this year. They're going to lose $1.36 next year. And it's a company that I would not even consider. Negative cash flow. I am selling for 6x book value. I don't even know what value they would have. So it's I never buy companies that don't make money. I say never, but there are occasional times. But your rule for you should never buy companies that don't make money. This company hasn't made money for years. So why would I be interested in it? You shouldn't be either. That's it for today. You've been listening to Invest Talk. I want to thank you for listening. And everybody from KPP Financial, everybody, Justin Klein and the rest of the crew, want to thank you for listening and calling in this week. And why don't we go ahead and try to do it again next week? I'll be here all next week, 4 to 5 live Pacific time. Look to hear from you then.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.